is about what? Thank you. There will be a siren sounding every 5 minutes to make sure. So, anyway, you, as I say, you're very welcome to this service where we're going to celebrate, we're going to praise, we're going to lift up our Lord Jesus Christ in our service and in our worship this morning. So it's really good to be together to do that, because is this too loud? That's not too loud, right? So in corporate worship, which is where we come together to worship and to praise, and that's really good. I know Diane wants to say something. Before that, we've got our leadership team on Thursday. So those who are on that team, please gather in the meeting room. I've got the prayer cards for this year. Not prayer cards, the membership cards. So if anybody wants one, just let me know. I don't know what they're for, but there you are. I've got those. The new prayer handbook, if you use it, is out. This one, Our Story, Our Song. And there are copies in the porch if you want to take that, if you use it. I emailed the St. Peter's Church to say we're going to be joining them on Remembrance Sunday this year. And the rector kindly responded, also Matthew Price did as well. And he said he'd be delighted to welcome us all. But he reminds us, well, he doesn't remind us, he tells us we're going to be holding their Harvest Festival next Sunday. And they're launching the Western Food Bank. And I put some posters up on the notice board there. So I think it's Fridays from 1 to 2. There's the food bank and all sorts of hygienic projects, I think. Now have a look on the way out and you'll see. So they're launching that during their harvest service. And they've also invited us to attend the harvest lunch. It's next week. He says he's aware it's short notice. But if anybody would like to go, if they can ring him by Wednesday evening, their £10 tickets for the harvest lunch. So, that's good to be working with, as I know you work with St. Mary's, Bethlehem, begin to work again with our friends at St. Peter's. Right, I think that's me. Diane. Thank you, Diane. And lots going on, which is really good to see. And we praise God that he's continuing his work. We're going to sing, we're going to praise, we're going to lift up the Lord this morning. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. So we lift up the name of the Lord, we lift his name on high, because he is great and he is glorious and he is magnificent and he is majestic. Our call to worship is on the screen, so please join in the congregation bit. Friends, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Therefore, let us throw off the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us pray. Father, we just give you thanks and praise this morning for bringing us together in your presence. Lord, we love to be together. We love to sing your praises. But Father, we so often just do that. Join together and sing your praises without any thought of, you know, what the future holds for us. And so, Lord, we pray that your light this morning will just shine into our lives, revealing to us the urgency of living for you, that we're not here just to be the people we are, but we are called to be a people of light, a people of action, a people of sharing the gospel. And so, Father, we ask your blessing on us this morning. We thank you for all that you have done for us in the past. Lord, we revel in all that you have done. And Lord, we know that there is more yet to come. And so, Father, as we gather together, help us as a community to see how we can move forward. And we pray for that marathon service, Lord, where there'll be witness to hundreds of people who will be passing the church. We pray for that, Lord, that seeds will be sown. We pray for all the activities we've been talking about this morning. Lord, we lift them before you and ask you to bless them. And so, Father, as we come before you this morning, we come in an attitude of thankfulness. We come in an attitude of gratitude for all that you have done. And so, Father, we lift your name on high, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing, King of Kings, Majesty. I live to serve your majesty. Let those words be ringing around in your head. I live to serve your majesty. How are we serving? How are we doing it? And, you know, that's for each of us to consider and to pray about. Well, it's time to wake up. Oh, it's not there anymore. It's time to wake up. Time to wake up. You've been singing nicely, so that's very good. And we're going to... we're going to hear our first reading this morning. If you imagine what it's like, you know, in a cold winter's night, you're lying in bed, the alarm goes off, and you turn the deaf ear, don't you? Sort of turn over. Don't want to get up. I'm just so comfortable here. And it's, you know, I'm going to have to do things when I get up. I much prefer to stay where I am. And that's the kind of... theme, if you like, of the service this morning. So we're going to hear our first reading, which is the lectionary reading for today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Thank you, Chris.
First reading is taken from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 15, the parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know not what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the shrewd manager, very dishonest with his master's money. I hope you're not dishonest with your money, because we're now going to dedicate the offering as a response to that. And then afterwards, I forgot all about birthdays, so we'll do that afterwards. So if somebody can bring the collection up, that'd be good. Father in heaven, the giver of every good gift, Lord, we thank you that we have enough to give, and that we handle our monies honestly. And so, Father, we ask that you will receive this offering and those given in other ways, and Father, that those offerings will be for your service, to enable your word to be preached to the nations. And so, Father, we dedicate this offering in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Well, our second reading is from the book of Romans, and it's chapter 13, and Mary's going to read it for us. It's 13.
So this is the inspired word of Paul as he wrote to the Romans. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, are you awake? Yes, good, good. We heard about the shrewd manager, who, as we said, you know, was dishonest with his master's money. So, when his master found out that he was being dishonest, decided he was going to sack him. And the manager thought, "Well, what am I going to do? I can't work. I can't beg. Too proud for that. So, what can I do?" And so he came up with this plan of making himself or buying himself friends. And so the man who owed 100 gallons or 200 gallons of oil, whatever it was, had it cut in half. You had to only owe 50. There was 80 measures of wheat rather than 100 that was being owed, and so on. Presumably he went to a number of his master's customers to make these deals and, in a sense, buy himself these friends. And the master commends him. What? Why is in the Bible this crook being commended? And the answer is not because he was being dishonest. That's obviously not the case. But he was being commended for his shrewdness and for his sense of urgency. He knew he was in a crisis, and he acted decisively to secure his future. He knew he was about to lose everything, his job, his reputation, his security, all would be gone. And so he acts decisively in the urgency of the situation.
And Jesus tells us, the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the children of light. The children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the children of light. The worldly are very good for planning for their future on earth. And we can see that, can't we? Just look around. You know, money makes money, makes money, makes money. People are, you know, building businesses and people are looking out for themselves. People are acting to secure their future and planning their future. But what about us as Christians? Are we good for planning our future in heaven? Are we good at it, planning our future in heaven? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about it? Paul tells us in Romans that the Lord's return is very near. And it's probably nearer now than any time. I don't know, maybe. But we look around us and we see the events going on in the world. And we think, you know, something's going on. So we don't know when the Lord will return. It may be soon, it may not be soon. But we've got to deal with it as if the Lord's return is very, very near. So if that's the case, how are we acting? How are we behaving? How are we responding? Do we live with a sense of urgency and purpose? Or have we become too comfortable, too complacent in our spiritual lives? We come to church every Sunday, as we've been doing for many years. But is there that sense of urgency that Jesus is talking about? Of wanting to grow, of wanting to present ourselves to our Lord as truly his disciples? Or do we just sort of go through the motions? Well, it's time to wake up from our spiritual sleep. We perhaps have become too lethargic. We are living in a crucial time. The return of Christ, the completion of God's plan of salvation, is closer now, Paul says, than it's ever been. And that's still true. You understand, don't you, that Jesus is coming back? That was his promise to us. And that should really motivate us to live all of our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul is calling us to wake up. We may not feel like getting out of bed, but it's time to wake up. The Lord is returning, and that should motivate us to live holy lives. So Paul says, do you know what time it is? Wake up! Jesus is coming back. If you think about it, if you're expecting an important guest to arrive, you don't sit back in the last, you know, half an hour before they arrive and have a cup of coffee. No, what you do is you tidy up, you're putting your finishing touches to dinner, you're making sure everything's all right, you become more alert, you become more attentive. And that's the urgency that Paul is describing. The closer we get to Christ's return, the more alert, the more active and prepared we should be. Our final salvation, being forever with God. That's our final salvation. We've got salvation past, what Jesus did. Salvation present, our growth as Christians under the lordship of the Holy Spirit. And then our final salvation when we go to be with God forever. That's nearer than ever. And that truth should wake us from our spiritual slumber. Remember, his return will be unexpected. It'll be sudden. We won't know when, but the fact of his coming should wake us up.
Jesus told us, as he was going to heaven, that he would prepare a place for us. And then he will come again to receive us to himself. And so that's where he is when we will be with him forever. Jesus says, I'm coming back for you. His return. Paul continues. I don't know if you can get the verse up. The day, the night is almost gone. The day is near. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? The world often feels like night. Filled with darkness, filled with confusion, filled with fear, filled with sin. It's easy to stumble in the dark, isn't it? To lose our way. Also to hide our actions. But Paul assures us that this night is temporary. God's day is coming. A day of light, of truth, of justice and clarity. Would you like to live in darkness permanently? Well, we've been up to the top of Norway. It was 24-hour sunshine then. But in the winter, of course, it's permanent night. Would you like to live in that darkness permanently? Do you agree that more sin happens at night than in the day? Most things done in the dark are not good. So into this dark world, the light shines. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so Jesus is saying, we have this light of life. And therefore, let us cast aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. To put aside, to lay aside means to take off, to shed, to cast off, like taking dirty clothes off after a long day. What are these deeds of darkness Paul talks about? Well, he gives examples. Move on, Jan, if you like. Carousing and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, quarrelling, and jealousy. These are behaviours that thrive in secrecy, that dull our senses, that lead to division and lead to decay. They are heavy burdens that stop us from living truly as we should. But instead, we should put on the armour of light. And of course, it's not a literal armour, but it's a way of living. Light reveals, light purifies, light guides. So to put on the armor of light means to live with integrity, to live with transparency, to live with kindness, to live with love. It's like putting on clean, bright clothes that reflect who we are in Jesus Christ. It's choosing to live openly and honestly, unlike the shrewd manager, in a world that often prefers shadows. Think about a construction worker before they start their day. Rodney and Noel about this. They don't just roll out of bed and go to the site, but they put on their safety gear. On goes the hard hat, steel-toed boots, the high-vis vest. They put on what's appropriate and protective for the work they're about to do. And so as followers of Christ, we are called to put on what is appropriate for those who belong to the light. Spiritual safety gear, if you like, that protects us and allows us to shine. Or as Paul say, let us behave properly as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in quarrelling and jealousy. And that reiterates the need for a transformed lifestyle. When the sun is up, we tend to behave differently than we might in the shadows of night. Why? Because we are more accountable. We're more visible.
Paul calls us to live with that same sense of public accountability, not just outwardly, but inwardly before God. Our conduct should reflect the light of Christ within us, not the darkness of the world around us. Paul says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." This is the ultimate garment we are to put on. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ means to fully identify with him, to embody his character, to live as he lived. It's not about acting religiously. It's about having our lives shaped by his grace, his love, his holiness. It means his priorities become our priorities, his values become our values, and his spirit guides our every step. And make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. This is crucial. It means don't give sin an open invitation. Don't leave the back door unlocked. If you know certain habits or environments or relationships tempt you to fall into deeds of darkness, deeds perhaps you don't want anyone else to see, then consciously choose to avoid them. Don't feed those desires. Starve them. It's like someone trying to stop smoking. They don't keep cigarettes in the house just in case. They remove the temptation. And we must be intentional about cutting off opportunities for sin to take root in our lives. And we know that's a journey, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow more and more like him. We know that's a life's journey, that we will probably never get there. But that's what we're called to do. Don't take opportunities. Don't allow sin to enter our lives. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." Either you're in the world, with its sin and its quarrelsome and just jealousy and everything else, or you're with Jesus Christ. The message of Romans and of Luke is not just a polite suggestion. It's a vibrant, life-giving call to action. It's time to wake up. Wake up to the nearness of our salvation. Wake up to the dawning of God's perfect day. Wake up and shed that heavy cloak of darkness. Wake up and put on that beautiful, radiant armor of light of Christ. Wake up and live purposefully, intentionally, fully, as those who belong to the light. Let us not be caught asleep when the Master returns. Instead, let us live each day with awakened hearts and ready minds. The time is short. Don't delay. Maybe you thought of witnessing to a neighbor, but haven't done it. Do it now. Maybe you're involved in sin and you know you should repent. Maybe you say, "Well, one day I'll get round to it." Do it now. Forgive that family member. Do it now. Maybe you thought about reading your Bible more every day. Do it now. Maybe you've never taken the step of fully putting your trust in Jesus Christ. Well, don't delay. Turn to Jesus Christ today. Don't put it off any longer. We don't know when he's coming back. If you don't do it now, then maybe it'll be too late. Jesus stands ready with open arms, ready to forgive your sins, ready to make you a new creation. And then you'll live in the secure knowledge that you'll be with him for eternity. If that's you, standing on the brink,
Do it now. Put your trust in Jesus. Commit yourself to him. He will look after you. He sacrificed himself for you. He loves you so much. And he wants you to be with him, to welcome you into his embrace. And so, if that's you today and you need to do that, then please do that. If you want some prayer after the service, and we'll do that, and we can do that after the service. But we don't want to be asleep. We want to have awakened hearts. We want to have these lives transformed by the glorious light of Jesus Christ. Thomas Watson, an English Puritan, said, "We live in a day that has no sunset. The wicked live in a day that has no sunrise." That's it, isn't it? We live in a day that has no sunset. We live in the light of Jesus Christ. May God help us truly to wake up and to live for him. Amen. I'm actually going to say a prayer of commitment. And this is for those who have not yet taken that step of committing yourself fully to the Lord Jesus. And so I invite you just to pray. And if that's you, then you can say this prayer along with me. I'll leave gaps so you can repeat what I'm saying. So let's pray. Perhaps there's a prayer for all of us. Dear God, I know I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to turn away from it. Please forgive me. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sin. And you raised him to life. I want him to come into my heart and take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song now that says, "All to Jesus I surrender." Well, before we come to our prayers of confession and prayers of intercession, are there any birthdays? Blessings on you, Katie, for the year that's to come. So let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We just confess that we are a people who have been living in darkness. We confess that we have failed fully to put on Christ. And so we come to ask your forgiveness for that, Lord, and to ask for renewed strength to live our lives in the light of your love, in the light of the day. Lives of integrity and transparency, lives of growth into the people that you've called us to be. And so, Father, as we ask your forgiveness, we know that in your gracious and goodness and loving mercy, you have already forgiven us, and that our sins are past and are forgotten, and that we stand right with you, and we give you praise and thanks for that. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us in these churches. We pray, Lord, that we may be beacons of light. And so, Father, we pray that you will enable us to wake up, to see the arrival of Jesus coming, to motivate us to do the things we've perhaps been putting off, but motivate us to live more closely as your people, as people of your word. And Father, we lift up our prayers for those regions of the world that are in conflict. We pray for peace. You are the Prince of Peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we pray for peace in our land, for peace in our world, a world that seems so divided. Communities against other communities. Lord, a world that is slipping slowly in more and more into darkness. And so, Father, wake us up. Enable us to see the light and to bring your glory, the glory of your majesty, the glory of your kingship to our world. We pray for our churches here at Bethlehem and at Bethesda. Lord, we pray for people committed to knowing you and to loving you and loving your word and being true to those things that you have told us in your word and you have called us to do. And Lord, we pray for ourselves and our families. Lord, we ask for your protection over us. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon us, your continued blessing upon us. And we pray, Lord, that you will, through your Holy Spirit, just enter our hearts more fully, day by day, so that we may grow into those people you have called us to be. And I'll just leave a time now for people to bring your own prayers, either aloud or in the quiet, just a time of prayer. So, Lord, we lift up our prayers to you. And, Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of prayer. We pray for the prayer day, that prayer will ascend to your throne and will be received with joy. And so, Father, as we come together to pray and to worship, we say together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, it's time to wake up, and service is nearly over, and as we are called to live in the light of his love, so we're going to sing together. Let, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine. May you be awakened to the dawn of God's grace. May you walk in the light of his purpose and put on the Lord Jesus Christ in all that you do. So go forth and be a light in the world. Amen. We say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.